Hello and welcome to Extra Credit with me, Teacher Michael. This is a podcast made by online educators for online educators. Hello and welcome to the Extra Credit Podcast. I am your host, Teacher Michael, and I want to thank you for joining me here on another Monday morning. I have to begin today's episode by apologizing for last week. I did not have an episode up and ready in time, and it was largely, well, not largely, it was 100% my fault. There were some technical issues in the interview that I had with today's guest, Teacher Casey. So I worked diligently all week and all weekend to try and correct some of the terrible audio on my behalf. Nothing to do with Casey. She sounded amazing. Rookie mistake. I set my levels wrong and my audio was just super loud. So I do apologize, you know. Being the type of person I am, I like the quality of my work to be the best that it can be. And so when I listened back to it, I was like, I don't know if I can release this episode. But then I didn't want to have to re-interview Casey. I felt that that wasn't fair to her and to her time. So I said, you know what? I'm going to fix it as best I can. And if it's not perfect, then maybe people will skip this episode and move on to next week, or maybe they won't notice, and it's just me being a bit of a perfectionist. I think that's the type of thing that sometimes holds us back from moving forward with some of our plans, whether it's business-related plans or teaching-related plans or creative plans. That was certainly a hurdle for me when I first started my YouTube channel. It was easy to look at my own work and just be like, well, it's not good enough. That other person has a better YouTube channel. They sound better. Their lighting is better. They have a better camera. And at a certain point, that just becomes, in my opinion, an excuse to not put things out into the world and not put yourself out there. So I'm going to try to listen to, you know, my own advice in that regard. And I'm just going to put this episode out anyway. So I hope the audio isn't too bad for you to listen to. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not the one that I want you to listen to. It is my guest who I'm trying to feature today, and I do have an extraordinary guest for you. Teacher Casey, she has been a VIP Kid teacher for almost a year, and she has been doing a whole bunch of interviews with other teachers on her YouTube channel. I'm going to link that in the show notes down below, so if you're interested in checking her out on Instagram or YouTube or listening to some of the interviews she's been doing, that's where you can find the links to her channels. For a large part of this interview, we kind of unexpectedly walked into the territory of ADD and teaching students with ADD and being an ADD teacher, and this is something that I like talking about. When I was a kid, I don't think there was enough. I mean, I kind of was diagnosed with ADHD at the time when it was kind of new to the world. There wasn't a lot of studies done about it. And so I wish back then it was kind of more normalized. I always felt as a student that there was something wrong with me or that I was just bad or stupid. And I wish that, you know, people were talking about it as a superpower or as, you know, a positive trait in children. So a lot of our conversation centers around ADD, but we do cover other topics. So I'm going to encourage you to stick around to listen to the full episode. So thank you all so much for joining me here today. I hope you enjoy this episode. And now, without further ado, my interview with VIP Kid teacher Casey. There's a lot of things that I want to talk to you about today. There's a lot of ground to cover. It seems like you're up to a lot on the internet, and I'm sure we're going to get to some of that stuff, but I always love just hearing from my guests, like, how you got involved in the world of online teaching. So why don't we start there?
Okay, so yeah, I have two kids in college, so we decided to move back to the States since they were here. And when I got to Florida, I didn't know anybody, and my kids are, you know, about 5-6 hour drive away. So I was just kind of home by myself a lot. And I was like, I need to do something. I can't just sit here. And I looked into VIP Kid, and that's how I got started.
So how did you find it? Was it a friend that you saw posting about it? Was it an official job listing? Or were you just Googling, like, what can I do while I'm at home? Like,
I've had a friend that's been involved in VIP Kid for a while. And I used to take walks around my new neighborhood, and I met a neighbor, and she was doing it. So I was like, hey, tell me more. Get me signed up. What do I do? So I was probably like the easiest recruit ever because I signed up like that day and didn't ask for help. I was like, just let me do it.
Right. You're like, yeah, hey, I'll figure this out.
Yeah.
How long ago was that? How long have you been doing it?
I have been teaching for, was it 10 months? According to the app, it's like 296 days.
Yeah, it's kind of wild how it tracks the actual days like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so much fun. But I've had like 514 students, I think 1,875 classes, not counting today. I looked it all up right before.
I love it.
We got on here.
It's super fascinating for me because, you know, I started just over 3 years ago. And at that point in time, like, I would have never met anybody in the physical world that was doing that same job. So it's interesting for me to hear you talk about how, you know, a friend was doing it or a neighbor was doing it, or you bumped into someone who was like, yeah, I teach online. Like, it's so fascinating to me how commonplace these types of jobs have become in the last couple of years. I think at the beginning, you know, I've talked about this a lot on the podcast and I've heard other people talk about it, but everyone was just like, is this thing real? Is it a scam? And all of that sort of stuff. So I imagine at that point in time when you applied or got hired 10 months ago, was that a thing for you or not really?
It's been pretty popular, I think. Like, there's so much information now. You can YouTube anything about VIP Kid. And I didn't think it was a scam just because I had known about it for a while. My friend Amanda's been VIP Kid teacher for a couple of years now. When she first got started, I was kind of like, oh, how's this going to go? Because she was actually my aide in kindergarten before she moved back to the States. So I
heard you bring up YouTube there. You kind of went straight to YouTube to look up information. So why don't you explain to us what you've been doing on YouTube recently? Because you are quite prolific. There's a lot of like just video after videos coming out. I love seeing it. But why don't you fill in some of the listeners on what you're doing on YouTube?
Yeah, well, you know, I've got the gift of gab, I think. I enjoy chatting with people. And so I've found my niche has been interviewing other teachers or collaborating with other teachers. And it's mostly been VIP Kid. Actually, I think every one of them is a VIP Kid teacher. But with the interviews, everybody has offered something different or, you know, we're all teachers, but we all have such, I don't know, differences about us. And even little things and big things, and just interviewing people has been so much fun.
That's one of my favorite parts about this podcast is just hearing everyone's like really diverse backgrounds and experience, and everyone brings something different to the table. And when you do hear from a teacher that kind of speaks your language or connects to your kind of vibe, it's like, it's really exciting. I remember, you know, it was a week and a half ago, I heard you interviewing William, and, you know, he was bringing his puppets into the interview, and he inspired me. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. I got one of those little feisty animals that kind of, you know, bares its teeth, and it's really funny. So that just came in the mail today. But it's really cool when you connect with something like that, you know?
Yes, those animals are so scary.
So what inspired you to start the YouTube channel and start interviewing other teachers?
You know, the ideas, the starting the YouTube, that was all my husband's idea. He one day was like, you know, you should start YouTube channel and meet some teachers and talk about VIP Kid. And he does a lot of research on many different things. So even the interviewing the men of VIP Kid was his idea. So pretty much we go for walks, we discuss ideas, and then I just make it happen.
I love it. And did you always have that part to your personality? Because I think, you know, to start a YouTube channel, to line up all the interviews, to get all the videos uploaded, like, it takes a certain type of internal motivation. Like, was that always part of you and how you operated?
Well, I'm not afraid to ask questions or ask for help. For instance, when I first moved here, the plan was to do like story time and things on YouTube before I got involved with VIP Kid, but I was already a teacher. And I reached out to a bunch of publishers because, you know, I'm a rule follower and was worried about copyright. So I reached out, and all of them, well, the ones that did reply back said, no, we're not doing that. But I did get one actually today. They just approved my request. So I've got to wait for one more step. So that's kind of how it started. But while I was waiting, I started reaching out to people. I started taking Nancy Taylor's course. And right before that, I had reached out to her saying, hey, could I interview you on my channel? I've been interviewing teachers, and she said yes, and it's kind of just grown from there.
I'd love to talk, like, ask you a couple questions about Nancy Taylor's course, if you don't mind. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting her this past or last year, 2019, at the Journey Conference in Vegas. And I've always found her to be, like, just so generous with her time and her knowledge and information and everything. So I was super excited when I saw that she was launching a course. I believe it's called Beyond Teaching ESL Online. Why don't you tell our listeners, like, what it's all about?
So for short, we call it BeTeslo. Okay. And we had discussed that in the very first meeting, that we have like coaching calls with her full group. If you are part of the VIP group, like I am, you have actual one-on-one calls with her.
Okay.
And she is so much more giving than I ever knew. I mean, I had always heard about it, but if you have a question or something, you can message her and she answers you. It's like, you know, you watch her on YouTube and she's kind of a celebrity out there, even at the journeys and things. People were surrounding her and everything, but she always takes time. Yeah, she takes time to find you and talk to you. And in my course, there were things she thought of that I didn't even think of. And she didn't laugh at my goals. And I was really worried to tell her my goals. You know, she's all about service. So I thought, are my goals greedy? Or so my goal is to make six figures someday. I'll just throw that out there. And
I love it. That's a great goal. Yeah.
And she was like, oh, let's do it. How are we going to work on this? What are we going to do? And started giving me ideas. And I was like, wow, we sat there for 30 minutes of her talking to me about how I can achieve my goals and what I can use from her course to start working on it. And even ideas from outside her course. It was great. It was great.
I love that. So let's just imagine that someone like has never really heard of the course. Who is it for? Like, is it to make you a better teacher? Is it to make you a better business person? Is it to start a YouTube channel? Like, who is it for?
Good question. So she does have a course that's for ESL teachers to make you a better teacher, that's for ESL teaching and things, and it's got some great ideas. But this course is designed to like brand yourself. So it's not just for teachers, which I thought it was going to be like more for teachers and more about recruiting. And I was jumping all in for that, but it ended up being so much more. For example, like in the first module, we talk about mindset and how important it is to have that positive mindset and what we can do. There's modules on YouTube. There's modules on recruiting, but that's only one small part. So I would say if you're thinking about branding your business, this is an amazing course designed for you.
And was part of, the action plan, was it to start doing these interviews on YouTube, or were you doing that before the course, or did the course just kind of ignite the fire and get you putting out more videos in that way?
I was doing YouTube videos beforehand. I had already interviewed a bunch of my friends who are, you know, part of a YouTubers group that I'm in, and they all let me practice on them and interview them. And then I interviewed Nancy and started this course. And like I said, the course also has like Instagram and how to use that to build your business. So more than needing the YouTube part, I definitely needed and still need the Instagram part. I didn't even know where to find my messages when you first messaged me. You were like the second person that ever messaged me.
So why don't we talk a little bit about mindset? Because, you know, I know from my experience that it does take a certain type of positive mindset to put yourself out there on YouTube or Instagram, to open yourself up to the criticism of others. So how do you think about your mindset when it comes to creating things for the internet or for YouTube and Instagram more specifically?
I am definitely the cup is half full kind of person. My mindset is very positive, except when it comes to myself. Like, I was so afraid to do the podcast. I'm like, oh, my voice and all this. And what if I say something crazy? But with YouTube, I feel like I just am talking to people. And well, I guess I'm talking to people here too. But it's like, I can't edit or anything. What happens, happens. And people kind of get to know you. And they know I'm busy. They know I'm going to have mistakes in there, and I'm okay with that. But as far as like doing a podcast where the fear is ruining it for someone else, I think Does that make
sense? Right. Okay. Totally. That totally makes sense.
But as far as being positive, and I can set a goal and go for it. I just love positive people. I try to surround myself with positive people because I have found that when things are negative and negative around me, I fall into that feeling of being negative. And I'm like, I don't know why I feel so down. And then if I just take a look around, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm feeding off of the negative around me.
Yeah, it's true. I find the same way for myself. Like, other people's attitude and behavior definitely affects how I feel about certain things. Yeah, like, I totally relate to that. So in that regard, like, what are some of the, I don't know, resources, YouTube channels, Instagram accounts? Like, if other people want more positivity in their life, like, what would you suggest for channels to follow, people to follow, podcasts to listen to, that sort of thing?
So if your listeners are VIP kid teachers, I would say some positive ones for me. I like listening to Shannon Mabry and the Facebook group, Mental Health Awareness. There's two of them that sound very similar to health awareness. One is run by Micah Kidd and the other one is Dr. Julie Connor. And I think they're both admins for each other. They are great places and they admin that group really well. There's not any negativity there.
When I was on your YouTube channel, we kind of shared this nice moment where, or I thought it was a nice moment where I was kind of talking about my ADHD. And you were like, oh, another teacher who has ADHD. So maybe you could talk to me a little bit about that. Like, you know, I kind of grew up in that era where ADHD was kind of first being, I guess, diagnosed or assigned to a lot of students. There wasn't a lot of dialogue about it. There weren't a lot of tactics on how to teach towards kids who have ADHD. So I think that there's just a super negative stigma that at least did come along with it. I always felt to me that, like, there was something wrong with me. There was this thing that was holding me back, like, you know, something I'm going to have to, you know, quote unquote, deal with for my whole life, which to a degree is true, but I don't think personally that it's something that holds me back. So I wondered maybe if you could share some of your experience and maybe if that informs the way that you teach children who kind of have that more energetic or distractible personality.
Definitely. I actually love the subject. I feel like I embarrass my family more than anything by me talking about it all the time. So my experience, I love that you called it a superpower. It definitely has advantages where if I need to hyper-focus on something, I can do it if it is something I am passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's great for that. As far as understanding busy kids, I mean, being a kindergarten teacher for me was great because by the time the kids were ready to move, I was too. So it would be like, we'd work on this and then we're moving. In my classroom, for them to learn their sight words, they had the option to bounce on, they called it a rebounder. It's kind of like a small trampoline. And it's using your body and it's called a body, now I can't think of it. But basically, if you can recite or talk about your sight words while doing other things, you know it. You know, you're not stopping and thinking about it for so long. So, you know, body awareness, moving their bodies, letting them move around while they learn, I think is a great way to learn. It's a great strategy. Some of the things that are a little bit embarrassing is, you know, every night around 6:30, I cannot stop talking. As an adult, there are times that I know to just shush and listen. But there is a certain time of day when it affects me that I just can't help myself unless I have more coffee. Coffee calms me down. So if I just can't shut up or my brain won't shut off, I can have some coffee. And one other good thing is I am so busy all day long that I don't have trouble going to sleep at night. The minute I hit the pillow or I am out.
That is awesome. I wish I had more of that.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. But throughout growing up, it was kind of a negative thing. Teachers thought I was just being crazy and wouldn't listen, even though they always said what a great kid I was and nice. But I was always busy. I was pretty much the busy tomboy in class. And I was sent home with sad and happy faces. And I still can't stand frowny faces.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's growing and people are more understanding of it now.
Absolutely, yeah. Which is really nice to see. Like, I love it. I would have loved to have had a trampoline in my classroom as a kid. Are you kidding me?
Right?
Like, 5 minutes of bouncing around? Like, yes, I will get an A in this every single time.
Yes, I had 12 stations. One, they walked on a balance beam while they read their words. Or if the, you know, kindergarten, some are reading words, some are reading letters. So I would have a letter list up there and a word list. And they would walk the balance beam and read their words as they went, or their letters. And some they crawled on a little creep track. And yeah, it was interesting.
That's so cool. It reminds me of, I went to theater school for university, and in our first year, we all learned how to juggle. And one of the assignments that our teacher gave us was to learn a sonnet that we had to recite while we were juggling. And so most of the class had memorized the sonnet in a couple of hours. And then they were working on the juggling part. I had the juggling part down. I couldn't for the life of me remember the words of the sonnet, but I could, you know, I could juggle for 2 hours, but
right.
I was always like, I need a little bit more of what you have. And they were looking at me like, I need a little bit more of what you have. Yeah. It's an interesting, like, learning. It's an interesting, like, learning exercise, you know?
I never thought of it in the reverse, that it could work both ways.
Do you apply any of those principles to the online classroom? Because, like, obviously you can't set up a trampoline in the kids' room. So what happens when your students start getting distracted? What's your approach to that?
Well, I don't mind a lot of movement. And if they can participate, like, there's one, he rolls around in his room a lot, or sometimes he's in a tent and he's as busy as I am. Sometimes it makes me dizzy, but he participates the whole class. So I just go with it. If he needs to move while he's learning, then as long as I can tell he's learning and he's participating, we are all good. The thing I have to watch is the shy kids, that I don't overwhelm them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a thing that I need to work on as well.
I'm just like, oh, yay, I love kids. I love people, you know.
Yeah, often my approach is to, like, turn up my energy for some of those kids. And it can have the reverse effect where they kind of become even more shy.
Yeah, I think most of the time it works to our favor. But sometimes it's like, oh, no.
I don't know what your teaching setup is. I know some people teach with a desktop. I'm on a laptop here. And I have a little ring light that's attached to the top of my laptop. And one thing that I've started doing recently is when we're talking about something that, you know, has a visual that's in another room in my house, like today we're talking about how, like, bees feed on flowers. And I knew that in the living room there were flowers. I, you know, pretended to be a bee and picked up the laptop and just started buzzing my way into the living room. And, like, I was able to show the flower to the kid. And I kind of have detached myself from, like, being physically locked down to my classroom. I think a lot of people are worried about, you can't have a shaky camera and your lighting can't be bad for any part of the class. Like, it got a little shadowy going through the hall into the living room, but, you know, I saw the kid kind of leaning in and, like, found this really, I don't know, they were interested in it, and she gave me a round of applause when I got back to the classroom, which has never happened.
Leaning in shows interest. That's one of the signs to see if somebody's interested in what you have to say. So
yeah, for sure.
I am not locked to my chair and sitting, but I am locked to my desk because I have my Ethernet cable hooked up. But I easily could unhook that because I don't necessarily need it. But I have a stand-up desk. So I used to just put books underneath my laptop and make it taller when I wanted to stand and take them out. But then I got this electric one, and it's just an electric, like, what do you call it, extension that goes on top of an existing desk. So I like that. It's just a button that I push and it goes up and down. So
do you find standing while you teach keeps you more engaged or keeps your energy up?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. I love it. And I also have a wobble board under my desk. So this sounds so funny. I don't know how to explain it. It's a wobble board, and I can balance on it or move around on the board.
Yes, I think I've had to do those for, like, I've had bad knees in the past. So it's kind of like a half of a sphere, and then it's flat on one side. Is that what you mean? Those kind of things?
Kind of. I think that's a Bosu ball, but this is like a wobble board. So it's got wood on one end and like a mat on the other, but it's got like these nub things. So if I'm sitting, I can put my feet on those and move them to kind of keep me, you know, moving. Or I can stand up and actually stand on it and balance that way. But I have had knee surgery, so if I stand too long, then the board comes in handy for that too.
Right. I would love to see what that thing looks like. I'm trying to picture it in my head, but...
I'll show you.
Sounds like a thing I'd be into.
I made a video about like gifts for teachers, and that was really popular. A bunch of people started liking it and ordering that.
I love it. Okay, well, I would love that. And if people want to connect with you on Instagram, maybe there's photos and stuff up there. How can they do that? What's your Instagram handle?
I never thought to put that picture up there, but I will. I'm looking up my Instagram because I told you I don't use. All the time.
Yeah.
I'm just still learning it.
Yeah,
but
I got you.
It's teachingadventures_VIPKid.
Awesome. teachingadventures_VIPKid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. And I'll link that down in the description of the podcast and all that. So if people want to find it that way, they can do that as well.
Thanks. If you don't mind me shouting out my website, because my husband works on that, it's just teachingwithkasie.com, KASIE.
Excellent. Yeah. No, I love that. I'm all about it. We are kind of quickly running out of time here, but before we wrap things up, I kind of wanted to maybe ask you, from all of the interviews that you've done on your YouTube channel, like, is there any common threads that you have taken away from these other teachers, or I don't know, kind of main points that you might have learned from interviewing and talking to so many other online teachers?
Everyone has a different way of doing things, and I love every way. So I find myself like shopping or making stuff that other teachers have. There's just so many things out there and so many great ideas from these amazing teachers that I want to learn them all.
I love it. It's great. It's such a good way to learn. And I think you do a really fantastic job. You're a natural interviewer, I think, and conversationalist. And it's been really nice to watch some of your videos. So yeah, if anyone out there is listening and they haven't done it, like, go check out Casey's YouTube channel and get on it.
Thanks. VIP kid.
Well, that is it. That's, that's time for today. It is Friday afternoon. I've got some cooking to do. I'm not sure what you have planned for the weekend, but I don't want to take any more of your time. So thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And that is the end of the episode. Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you, Casey, for taking the time to join me on the podcast and share some of your story. It was so nice to connect with you again. For those of you who want to connect with Casey, like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I'm going to link her YouTube channel and Instagram in the show notes of this podcast. So you can click through and find her on Instagram, find her on YouTube. I actually was on her YouTube channel not too long ago, so there's an interview there with me, but there are interviews with so many other teachers, so I'm going to encourage you to find Casey and connect with her online. Let's talk about next week before I say goodbye. Next week, I will be talking a little bit more about OutSchool. I have my second OutSchool class tomorrow afternoon, and for those of you who have been listening, you'll know that this is all new to me. Becoming an OutSchool teacher has only happened in the last month or so. So I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that next week. So if you are a new OutSchool teacher, or if you're curious about what I've learned in, you know, listing and teaching my first class on OutSchool, I'm going to encourage you to come back and join me next week. And to that end, if you have not already subscribed to my podcast, why don't you go ahead and do that? Very simple, very quick. It's one of the best ways to support me and the work that I'm putting out into the world. So if you do enjoy this podcast and you haven't yet subscribed, please do. I hope you'll come back and join me next Monday for another Extra Credit with Teacher Michael episode. And until then, have fun teaching. See ya!